This is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee.
Good morning, everyone. So 30 years ago, on the streets of Havana, Cuba, this is what it sounded like. Now listen carefully. That's Fidel Castro saying, "We do not want them. We do not need them," referring to the thousands of people demanding asylum. And Fidel Castro saying, "Well, fine. The Mariel Harbor is open. You can get on a boat and go to America." If you also listen carefully to that clip, it's the opening scene of the movie Scarface, which is a part of the Mariel boatlift mythology, which has taken its place in American history 30 years since that boatlift happened. In a sense, it was a parry Fidel was doing to a tension in U.S.-Cuban relations that stemmed from the 1960s. Since the Cuban Revolution, America had offered Cuba pretty much unrestricted asylum. Anyone who made it to the shores of the United States were granted citizenship. It was a tension within Cuba that Castro sort of called upon when he said, "Okay, fine, go to America." And in 1980, 125,000 Cubans actually made the journey between April and October. It was a huge political controversy, both for Castro and for the American administration of Jimmy Carter. Joining us now to talk about what it was like to be in that experience, Mirta Ojito is the author of Finding Mañana, a memoir of a Cuban exodus. She left Cuba at age 16 during the boat lift. Good morning, Mirta.
Good morning.
And Yvonne Cuesta returned. She was 7 years old, as we said, when she arrived in Miami. Now she's an attorney in Miami and could become the first sitting Miami-Dade judge from the Mariel boatlift. Good morning once again, Yvonne.
Good morning.
So, Mirta, do you remember the boat you were on?
Oh, absolutely. That's why my book is called Finding Mañana. That's the name of the boat.
And no kidding.
I set out to find it in 1999. I was working as a reporter for the New York Times, and I thought, I have a few tools in my belt now. I can go find this guy. And I found him. I found him on the boat. And all I knew at that point was the name of the boat and that the captain was missing the left arm. And I found him in New Orleans in 2002. So I remember clearly as if it were today.
Now, you describe a story that's an extraordinary adventure. As a 16-year-old, when did it stop being an adventure and you understood you were really in the middle of a global political battle between, you know, the United States, El Norte, and Fidel Castro?
You know, I was pretty political, as most children are in Latin America, and I think particularly in Cuba. So I think I understood it from the beginning. I knew that it was serious. I knew that it was chaotic. I knew that it would change my life and Cuba and South Florida. I didn't know how much, but I knew it would. And I think I was so clear on that that the moment I arrived in Hialeah, in my uncle's house, I asked for paper and pencil. At that time, I knew already that I wanted to be a reporter. And I said, I better take notes on this.
Wow.
And I wrote and wrote and wrote and wrote. And that was priceless when I was writing my book. I couldn't possibly remember everything that I appeared to remember in my book. I took notes.
An enthusiastic 16-year-old witness to history, and the voice survives 30 years later. Yvonne Cuesta, you were seven. Did you have a moment of revelation when you realized that you were a part of a political battle that was way beyond simply being on a shrimp boat?
Well, of course. I mean, I was a lot younger than Ms. Ojito, so I really could not fathom what was going on around me. All I knew is that I was being, you know, stripped and taken from my home, from my school, from my friends, into a new world, a new life where I couldn't even speak the language. So I was not, I wasn't as aware as she was of what, you know, the tremendous.
Well, Yvonne's having a little problem with her phone there. We'll set her for a second and come back. Mirta Ojita, the idea of a Marielita was very, very different 30 years ago than it is today. Tell us the transformation of that word.
Well, Scarface, as you mentioned, had a lot to do with it. It had the stereotype was, and this is something that Al Pacino didn't do. Fidel Castro started it. That Fidel Castro was getting rid of all the discontents or malcontents, but also the emptying the jails and the insane asylums and that sort of thing. That, of course, is not true. But many people, you know, people, the reason why Fidel Castro has lasted for 51 years is because a lot of people have believed in him. So I think there was no reason to doubt then that he was right. But, of course, he was wrong, as he has been in the last 51 years many, many times, and continues to be wrong. And so the transition was slow, but, you know, 125,000 people came to Miami in the span of 5 months. It was chaotic at first. Huge. I mean, the hospitals, the schools, housing, everything was overwhelmed. But like previous waves of immigration, we assimilated. And I think slowly people, not only in Miami, but everywhere, understood that we were not unlike the general population anywhere else.
It just was faster. It was on a bigger scale.
Some very bad apples that tainted the whole thing for many of us. But most of us were good, hardworking people.
Mirta Ojeda is the author of Finding Mañana, a memoir of a Cuban exodus. Mañana was the name of the boat that she left in Cuba at age 16, part of the Mariel boat lift 30 years ago. Yvonne Cuesta, you were 7 years old, we mentioned, when you arrived in Miami. We talked about the mythology of the movie Scarface and Tony Montana. In looking at that movie once again, it is also a story of coming to America and finding success in its dark, brutal way. Do you think you're a part of the mythology, the history of assimilation in America?
Absolutely. I think I'm a prime example. Like I mentioned earlier, I came here when I was seven. My family and I, we had nothing. We weren't allowed to bring anything with us. And I found not only freedom, but I found professional success in a country that really opened its arms to us. I would have never found that success in Cuba.
But you're going to outlive Fidel. You're going to outlive the embargo, all this sense of conflict between the U.S. and Cuba. What do you think we're going to be saying about the Mariel boat lift in 30 more years?
What an overwhelming exodus that was.
Hmm. And how much it changed America and continues to. Yvonne Cuesta was seven when she arrived in Miami as part of the Mariel boat lift. She may become the first sitting Miami-Dade judge who came to the United States during that boat lift. She joined us from Miami. Thanks so much to both of you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.